The holidays are here, and the Cozy Corner Gift Shop, just inside Sheridan Memorial Hospital, has something for everyone on your nice list. When you shop at the Cozy Corner, you're not only buying a gift, you're also giving back. We donate all of the proceeds to the Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation to support hospital projects. From decorations to clothing, we have all of your holiday essentials. Stop by and find the perfect gift today, and Merry Christmas from all of your Cozy Corner volunteers.
Hi, this is JT.
And Elizabeth Kraft. This month and always, we are especially thankful for our business and the opportunity we have each day to reconnect people to the world around them through the gift of hearing, while providing food, shelter, and stability for our family.
We are also thankful for our very supportive communities in northern Wyoming. Without our loyal customers and the new friends that join EBA Hearing and Sound each day, we would not be where we are today. We appreciate all of you more than you know.
Happy Thanksgiving from the EBA Hearing and Sound family on Coffeen Avenue next to Sherwin-Williams in Sheridan.
Introducing Transfer the Sense from Security State Bank, the easiest way to save without thinking about it. Every time you use your debit card, we round up your purchase to the nearest dollar and move the change into an account of your choosing, free of charge. It's automatic, effortless, and adds up fast. Start saving with every swipe. Ask about Transfer the Sense today. Security State Bank, small enough to listen, big enough to help. Member FDIC.
This is Brad at Primerate Motors Super Trailer Store, here to tell you we are completely stocked up with all types of aluminum and steel livestock trailers. We carry the most proven, durable brands like Wilson, Merritt, Murhau, and GR. With over 30-plus in-stock models available, we are eager to make you a deal you cannot resist. All types of trade-ins are accepted and financing is available. That's Primerate Motors, 2305 Coffeen Avenue, and online at primeratemotors.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, November 26th, from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we are joined by the University of Wyoming Director of Institutional Communications, Chad Baldwin. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning, Floyd.
The university's currently on a break right now, aren't you?
Yeah, today, no classes today and Friday. Yep. So fortunately, we got good roads for students who are traveling to go home, and hopefully it won't be too bad coming back, although it sounds like you might get some weather this weekend.
I'll tell you what, I live in the wrong state to dislike driving in the snow, Chad.
Yeah, although we've been pretty blessed in November, Floyd. It's been pretty dang nice.
It really has been. How have things been this semester overall?
Oh, just great. I mean, it's been a great semester. I mean, kind of, you know, the idea of being blessed by good weather was Saturday for the football game when Josh Allen came back and had a full stadium. People were able to come from all over the place. So it was sun splashed and beautiful for that important day. And for the whole semester, it's been, you know, it's been great. I mean, we've had some challenges, certainly some things maybe have been challenging for people on campus, but overall we do feel very blessed.
Speaking of blessed, during the University of Wyoming's 11th annual Giving Day, over 9,200 donors contributed more than $4 million in support of UW colleges, programs, your student organizations, and even more than that. Chad, how did UW raise $4 million in just 24 hours?
Well, lots of people on campus and the different, student groups and other units that raised money worked really hard and reached out, got the word out. And then, we just find that we have lots of supporters around the state and far beyond. Floyd, it's great. You know, alumni, people who even aren't alumni, others, just supporters. And of course, that $4 million in basically one 24-hour period is part of more than $60 million we exceeded $60 million in private support last year. So we'll see what this new fiscal year will produce for us. But you know, just tremendous private support for the university.
That's pretty incredible. Near,
you know, over 9,000 people donated. It's incredible, and just in that 24-hour period.
That's a lot of folks reaching out, giving some money, and not small amounts either. We're matching funds and challenge gifts, a big contribution to this?
Yeah, we had before the thing started, we had $1.68 million in commitments that would match donations. And that came from the foundation board, from the McMurray Foundation, from our board of trustees, from President Seidel. You know, so anyway, that always helps, that matching money does. And we found that it's a different deal, but the matching money we've received from the state legislature in past years has really helped us with getting private fundraising as well.
Now, when it comes to dog-earing funds, I was talking to another organization about this yesterday. A lot of this money through grants and some matching funds even has to be spent in certain ways. Are there various UW colleges or even some programs that are going to benefit most from these Giving Day contributions?
Yeah, Floyd, you know, I'm looking at one here, for example. This is the group that took first place in what they call the Big Giving Day Challenge, which was part of this, and that's our Western Thunder Marching Band. Over 700 donors contributed over $160,000. Western Thunder is a tremendous asset for our university. Joe Carver and his team, come to a football game, the halftime show was always spectacular. And then Western Thunder does so much more for the university. For example, they go to the high school marching band competition in Casper every year. The whole band goes, they perform, they connect with marching band kids from across the state. Dr. Carver has a great recruiting pipeline coming of students coming to participate in our marching band. And that's a real gem of our university that benefits from this private fund, you know, private contribution that came in Giving Day. Our Nordic ski team is another. You know, this is not an NCAA Division I program under athletics department. But they compete at a high level across the country. They get big benefits. Numerous other student organizations benefit, and our rodeo team is another example. So, largely, this is focused on students. This Giving Day thing is.
Well, that's fantastic. Will it support other opportunities for UW students across the campus?
Yeah, you bet. You know, I'm looking, for instance, the College of Arts and Sciences. They got over $400,000. It benefits students with, like, travel to conferences, that sort of thing. These are things that just kind of help us fill the gaps, you might say, to make sure our students have a full array of opportunities here.
Now, when all of this news came out, I did run the story up on our website, and one thing that caught me was the theme, Seize the Day. Did this kind of spur donors, and if so, how? And then I do have a follow-up question. Is this the first time you guys decided, you know what, we're going to do a theme this year, or is there a theme attached every year?
Yeah, we've been doing themes each year, Floyd, and I know the organizers talk a lot about it, what might be a, you know, good sort of theme for people and catch attention. And so, yeah, this was the one we used this year. There was a different one last year or a different one the year before. And it's really, I mean, people have to get into it, have a lot of fun with it.
And that may be a primary reason why people are so happy to give. I mean, great attitudes, you're calling, you're happy about what you're doing, you believe in what you're doing, and that really comes through. How has this Giving Day changed since it began in 2015?
Well, it just seems like it just keeps growing year over year. People see the benefits that come from it, see the good that it does, and the word gets out around campus. Hey, let's take advantage of this opportunity, and then the word gets out, of course, among the supporters that outside of Laramie that really care about what's happening here, and see a chance to really help the things that they care about.
Now, when it comes to the funds being used for any capital improvements or maybe even some within various initiatives, will that be divided up that way? Or is this money basically in a different pot? It's not going to be used for capital improvements. It's not going to be used to spur initiatives.
That's correct. Yeah, this isn't about building stuff, you know, physical things, Lloyd. No, this is about supporting programs, particularly those that affect are available to students.
Now, when you look at this, Chad, you sit down and you look at, I mean, because this is a huge number. Does this really say something to you about the Cowboys State support for higher education? And if so, what would you say that it says to you?
Well, I think it really sort of, I mean, if you combine this with the tremendous support we get from our legislature and governor, it shows that the people of Wyoming care a great deal about their university. We are the one Wyoming university. People really have a lot of pride in that. They want us to be excellent. They want us to be accessible and affordable to people. It definitely illustrates the sense of pride that we have here in Wyoming for our university.
And speaking of university searches, you guys have begun a presidential search.
Yeah, that's right. President Slidell announced several months ago that he's going to be stepping down at the end of June 26. And so our Board of Trustees appointed a search committee, hired a search firm, and we're in the stage right now where people are applying for the job or being nominated for the job. And that will continue on here. And then the search committee will, you know, be meeting a couple times between now and then. You know, basically by the end of March, the idea is that there will be some finalists, that the board, you know, that some semifinalists recommended to the Board of Trustees. The Board of Trustees then takes it and comes up with three finalists to bring to campus who will be identified publicly. So it's kind of we're in a stage now where there's not a lot of public information available, but it's the application phase right now.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, survey results and public listening sessions help shape the presidential job profile. If so, how did that help?
Yeah. Yeah, so the members of the search committee, the Board of Trustees, were able to hear from dozens of folks, hundreds really, because there was also like an online survey in addition to the public meetings. And, you know, what do people want? What are they? There are two things. It was like, what do you want to see in the new president? What, you know, qualities and skills that they need? And then what are the sort of the opportunities and challenges the university is going to be facing? And all that was taken in and definitely incorporated. I mean, you have things like, you know, somebody with an understanding and appreciation for Wyoming, a really strong communicator, somebody who's able to, you know, show that they have a bold vision and an ability to execute on that. You know, those are just a few of the things that were brought up and sort of some common themes. And that's reflected. Now, you can go to the UW website. uwyo.edu/presidential-search. And you can see the presidential position profile. It's basically kind of the advertisement that we put out there for prospective candidates to take a look at. Kind of shows the assets of the university, the priorities, all that. It's pretty slick publication there. And then, all of the information on the presidential search will be, as things are updated, will be put on that website. Includes the search committee members, the timeline, all that is on that site.
Now, when it comes to these, I guess you could say qualities, experiences, is there anything that you feel or you've seen kind of go float right to the top where it's like, hey, this is something that the people really feel the UW president should either qualify with or have under their belt as they go forward?
No, I'm not sure I could point to any one particular thing. Lloyd, but I think the, the ability to, there's, as we just discussed, there are lots of people who support our university, right, from a many, many different angles and perspectives. And a leader who's able to harness that energy. And some of it, not all that energy is necessarily everybody on the same page, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The ability to harness energy and bring people together behind a kind of a common vision. I mean, that's the real challenge for leaders in higher ed right now. The issue isn't that, you know, well, it's not apathy or anything like that. People care a great deal. And they're coming, you know, from a variety of perspectives, not all of them always aligned. And so it's the leader has to be, the president has to be one who can harness that and bring people together. And that's a tall task right now in our society. And, but you know, the common theme, of course, is that people do care, and that's the great thing.
Well, and I think that it's a great thing, but that is also the challenge. As you said, it's not apathy. It's the exact opposite of that. People are very passionate about education, and especially higher education. When we all sit down, we look at our pocketbooks and we're wondering, okay, well, how am I going to spend my money wisely going into my future, especially these younger kids? It's an investment. It's an investment in yourself. It's an investment in the future. And so that passion is definitely required. And bringing people together who are as impassioned as many people can be an absolute challenge. On that, we're going to have more with UW's Director of Institutional Communications right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Community Cupboard.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
Talking with Bill from Tales of the City, one of the big reasons to choose Tales of the City is food for your pets.
Nature's Logic, Victor, they're both gluten-free. Victor does use ancient grains, and the new one, Next Level. It is a performance food. You'll see stock dogs using it, cattle dogs, working dogs, sled dogs, active dogs in the backyard chasing the squirrels. This food is a fantastic food. You got to come in and see it.
Get the best for your pet at Tales of the City, 218 West Burkett.
It's Kayla Carr at Sheridan Honda. Want to know what your ride is worth? Finding out is easy. You can get your vehicle appraised during your next service visit, and we'll get you $20 off your oil change if you request the appraisal at check-in. No extra time, no hassle, just savings and real insight into your car's current value. And don't forget, Black Friday is just around the corner. Stop in to learn about our exclusive Black Friday deals on parts, service, and store merchandise to keep a little more jingle in your pocket. Visit Sheridan Honda today.
Wyoming basketball fans, single game tickets are on sale now. Whether it's the Cowboys and Cowgirls driving to the basket or sinking that clutch three, you won't want to miss a moment of the action in the Dome of Doom. Get your single game tickets now and be a part of every big play, every buzzer beater, and every victory. Cheer on the Cowboys and Cowgirls this year by visiting gowild.com/tickets to secure your seat.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light.
Celebrate the season with Grammy Award-winning country artist Susie Boggess as she presents A Swingin' Little Christmas, Sunday, December 7th, 2 p.m. at the Weill Theater.
I'll be home for Christmas.
With charm, warmth, and a voice that grows brighter than twinkle lights, Susie and her band will deliver a mix of festive standards and playful surprises. All with a swingin' twist.
Cause a western girl can't be still, and a silent night is not for me. Roll back the rug so we can two-step round the Christmas.
Susie Boggs, A Swingin' Little Christmas, 2 p.m. Sunday, December 7th. Get your tickets today at the Wild Box Office or online at wildtheater.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're talking with University of Wyoming Director of Institutional Communications, Chad Baldwin. Now, Chad, I hope I'm going to say this right, but Dre Heineman?
I think that's correct, yep.
A University of Wyoming student from Gillette recently earned regional recognition for her innovative space farming research supported by NASA. I feel like I'm saying NASA and University of Wyoming a lot these days. What does Heineman's NASA research project reveal about the challenges of growing food in space?
Yeah. So, Floyd, we like to brag about our undergraduate research opportunities. This is a great example. Here you have an undergrad who's doing NASA-funded research before she even has her bachelor's degree.
That's incredible.
And it's about how you can farm in space. So, what are the problems that astronauts face when cultivating plants in space? And her particular one's focused on lettuce. And the problem is the salt accumulates in the soil more because you have reduced drainage because of reduced gravity. So they don't drain away. And so how do you deal with that? So she designed and executed a series of experiments looking at salt tolerance in lettuce, and it's incredible. I mean, she's getting regional attention for it. She went to a conference with people from Washington, Idaho, Montana, and California, and she's at the cutting edge on this. And it might help. We still have some pretty bold ambitions for space exploration in our country. And how are people going to eat up there is the question, right? And so she's figuring out how to do that. And it's ongoing. I mean, her next thing she's going to do is she's going to investigate whether inoculating lettuce plants with fungi can mitigate the effects of increased salinity. So it's fairly awesome. She's a senior from Gillette and an example of a Wyoming kid coming to Wyoming's University and getting an incredible experience. Who knows what it's, the sky's the limit for her career, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. And I watch a lot of sci-fi films and things, and I never tend to think the challenges that these people would have had to have faced in simple things like, how am I growing my food in space? Zero gravity. And we've got brilliant individuals like Heineman down here working to make this kind of thing a reality. I got to ask, does she have an agricultural background coming from Gillette? And if so, did that kind of give her an angle on this project?
I'm not certain about that, Floyd, but as I'm reading her quote here, she says, "I never thought that I'd be capable of this. When you think of Wyoming, you don't think, oh, yeah, I can go to college and do a space farming research project. But once I found out what I was really interested in, that's when I realized my drive," she said. So she was exposed to an array of opportunities. This one really piqued her interest, and now she's running with it. You go, girl.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What a fantastic project. She hasn't even gotten her master's yet, and she's already well on her way to being somebody who's going to help change the future and open up doors of possibility, not just for us, but for all mankind. I mean, it's absolutely incredible to think a broad scope of where this research that she's conducting now can take us further down the line. Speaking of which, I'm going to try an assistant professor in the University of Wyoming Department of Mathematics and Statistics. Konstantinos Mamis was part of a team.
You got it right, Jim.
Won the 13th Integrated Mathematical Oncology Workshop at the Moffitt Cancer Center in Tampa, Florida. What what is this? Here he is, mathematics and statistics, and part of a team that won an award for cancer research.
Isn't it incredible to think about? Yeah, so I'm going to do my best to explain it, Floyd. So some types of blood cancer are treated by introducing a lab-made gene into cancer T cells. And these T cells detect and kill cancerous cells. So this is blood cancer, and it's a therapy of putting T cells in. And it's really apparently transformed treatment for blood-based tumors. But the challenges are the complexity of the interactions within the immune system as you're putting these T cells in there. So Dr. Mamas's team, and this is an interdisciplinary deal. This is not, you know, he's got mathematical modeling kind of aspect to it, but then you have others, and they're taking a look at how they can use sort of computer modeling to figure out what's the best way to put these T cells in there, and how are they going to be most effective. And so I think there's an AI component to this, actually, Floyd, as well.
Wow.
But it gets really complicated, but it's trying to help create conditions that allows these T cells to function most effectively.
Absolutely incredible. You know, Chad, you and I talk about so many complicated things, and you and I are just a couple news guys. Trying to figure this stuff out, these brilliant minds that are doing fantastic things down there. I'm going to kind of do something a little bit different, Joe, because this stuff is fascinating. And I'm always kind of talking it up. But even I have a lot of trouble trying to understand a lot of this stuff. And I know that there's a lot of doctors out there who listen to the show. They want to know more. So, Chad, I'm going to do something a little bit different. And I'm going to ask you, if folks want to follow up on our discussion and they want to learn more about all this stuff, I want people to know that the University of Wyoming has news stories, a whole news section that gets very detailed on a lot of this research, and smarter people than me out there want to know more, and they'll be able to understand this stuff. Chad, where do these folks need to go to learn more about this fantastic stuff?
Sure. uwyo.edu/news.
Okay.
And pretty simple URL. And, you know, there's lots of stories on that site. And then there's a whole archive you can go to for past things and take a look at those as well. But, yeah, you know, it's difficult sometimes because it is so scientifically complicated to really make this make sense for people. But I think this particular article does a pretty good job of that. And we really work hard to do that. But, you know, a lot of these professors are willing to talk to folks as well. And you can go to our website and do the people search function, type in Dr. Mamas' name and get his phone number and email address. And I can't guarantee that every inquiry is going to get a response, but I bet the vast majority would.
I think that's great.
For him and for others. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Being able to, you know, for these professors and these assistant professors and, hey, even, you know, undergraduate research assistants who are making such fantastic strides, take a moment, speak to people, let them know this is what we're doing. This is how we're getting it done. You know, Chad, in college myself, my technical writing class, I thought I would never use, and I find myself probably using that more to try and explain very complicated issues that I can barely even understand myself. So I really do appreciate you taking the leap, giving us a call, and letting us know about these fantastic things that are happening down at the university. I gotta let you go, but Chad, I want you to know I'm really wishing you a happy Thanksgiving, my friend, and thanks for calling in.
Thanks so much, Floyd. Same to you and the wonderful folks in northern Wyoming.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the Sheridan County Library System. They got some fantastic news themselves. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Community Cupboard.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
Woke radical liberals are screwing up this country. But Senator John Thune is fighting back. He backed one big, beautiful tax cut for working families, ending Social Security taxes for nearly all seniors, and taxes on tips and overtime gone. So call Senator John Thune at 202-224-2321 and thank him for backing working family tax cuts and putting America first. Paid for by American Prosperity Alliance.
What would Christmas be without tradition? Without the comfort of home, the joy of family, and smiles of children? Open your heart this year during the 26th annual Christmas Wish Campaign. Due to temporary circumstances beyond their control, some families, friends, and neighbors will struggle to make ends meet, let alone have a Merry Christmas. It's tradition for the Christmas Wish Campaign to bring the spirit of the holidays to those individuals. In the past, we've assisted several people with everything from bills and food to clothing, Christmas trees, and toys for children.
Please send your Christmas wish nominations and donations to P.O. Box 5086 Sheridan or submit them online at SheridanMedia.com as soon as possible. All wishes must be submitted in writing and must include your name and phone number. There are follow-up questions our committee will need to have answered to properly assess each wish. Wishes must be received by Friday, November 28th.
Partners for this year's Christmas Wish Campaign are First Federal Bank and Trust, Heartland Kubota, Advanced Auto Body, Wyoming Corporate Office, Odell Construction, and A-Line Roofing and Exteriors.
This time of year, you can almost hear your pickup hollering, "Save me! There's road salt out there." And it's right. That stuff will chew through a frame faster than a coyote on roadkill. Best get her undercoated at Vulcan Collision Center, located in the old Holly Seed building under that big old chimney. They'll seal her up tight and keep the rust from ever taking hold. Don't wait for the first storm. Undercoat now at Vulcan Collision Center before your truck says, "Save me! There's road salt out there."
It's the final days of Moss Holder's Black Friday sale. Choose from amazing doorbusters like a reclining sofa and love seat combo for $19.99. Your choice of non-reclining sofas for only $4.99. Update your home office with a desk for just $3.49 or get a dining table and six chairs for $9.99. Update a bedroom with a chest for $2.49 or a nightstand for just $1.69. All non-doorbusters are on sale too. No matter what you buy, every purchase receives a discount. That's Moss Holder's Black Friday sale going on now. Moss Holder's, furniture is our passion.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there, First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I'm joined by Sheridan County Library System Director Amy Long and Board of Trustees Chair Anna Edwards. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how did the Fall Fest go?
It was wonderful.
Was it?
Yes. We tried a couple new things this time around. Learned a lot last year, and so our second annual, hoping to do it again next year, was super fun. We had a story walk from downtown all the way to the library, had a lot more traffic this year, enjoyed ourselves, were able to have a successful craft, snack, but balloon badminton, which is the biggest hit ever, and more pumpkins in our decorating contest than we've ever had. They lined the entire audiobook section. Yeah, it was a ball. It was so fun.
So you got more people this year than last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was kind of by the amount of individuals that took part in the first Fall Fest.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to get a count, so I don't know that I can for sure say exactly how many, but I definitely think we had as many, if not more people, but even regardless, we spread it out throughout the library, had snacks in the inner circle, as well as things happening inside the library. And it was so fun. We had people all throughout the event as they trailed in to the parking lot from downtown. And everyone had so much fun. It was great.
How about the Day of the Dead celebration?
Yeah, that was super fun too. I brought my daughter and they decorated their own Sugar Skull Cookies and had dance lessons inside the YO. And they had a showing of a film inside before, and they shut down a part of Main Street. Yeah, it was great.
And a lot of folks attended that as well.
Mm-hmm. And that was a partnership with the YO as well as the Sheridan Downtown Association. And yeah, super great.
That is great to hear. You know, the programs and the partnerships really seem to bring in a lot more folks, but it also includes a lot more little mini activities when you get there, because everyone's kind of got a bit of an idea. Hey, I want to include this, or I want to throw that at you. And I think these things are great. Will there be another Day of the Dead celebration next year, do you think?
Yeah, I think they're planning on doing it again. Absolutely.
That'd be great if that became an annual event as well.
Yeah, I think those are a really great way to bring a lot of different ideas together and a lot of different community partnerships of different organizations together to do something great for the community.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Now the library system, I promised everybody. Big news, Amy. What do you got?
Well, we've talked about the $1.7 million federal grant that we got. And Anna's going to tell us a little bit more about how that works, but we are getting geared up for that project to begin.
That's incredible. Okay, so this is $1.7 million. This is incredible. And the grant process behind this had to be a nightmare of red tape. How was this? How was it?
Well, it was, when it was coming due, it was a little bit stressful to get everything done. Luckily, I didn't have to take on all that stress. Amy had the benefit of getting all that stress. But once we got the application together, it went through, it went through approvals at the state, and it was approved. And now we just have to go get our bids done and get to work. So it's been a process. It's been, about 6 months to where we're getting to the point where we can actually start implementing the plans that we have in place, which are going to be amazing. The plan, we're revamping all of the libraries in the Sheridan County Library System. And so everything's going to get a little bit of upgrades and polish. And our goal with this project was really to make things more streamlined and to set it up so for programming so that we can add additional programming that meets the community needs. And we're really, really excited about that. And, overall, when it's done, the library is going to look a little more sparkly. It's going to look, it has all that, but it's going to be a lot more useful. And I mean, not that it's not useful now, but it's going to have more things that make the library special. It's going to have more places to do meetings and do crafts and to just bring additional programming and people into our doors. So we're super excited about that.
Amy, the ancillary libraries. Mm-hmm. Of the Fulmer, which is the actual name of the library in Sheridan.
Yeah, the Fulmer Branch Library.
The Fulmer Branch. Mm-hmm. Now, the Fulmer has gotten some updates over the years, fairly recently.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of heading out to those ancillary libraries. And as Anna said, we're going to update them. We're going to make them a little more versatile to really open them up to more members in the community, right?
Right. So I think each of the branches have some updates that have been made over the years. Like the Story branch just recently doubled their square footage with their meeting room that the Story community board was able to raise funds for. And that was a beautiful addition. And when they did that, they were able to quadruple their children's library. And so we're able to update the original library, which they opened and then was adopted into the library system. And so that area now we're able to create a more intentional teen area, expand it a little bit, get an adult area that they haven't had before, get new carpet, new lighting, kind of create a more spacious layout. And then we're hoping in 2027 to expand some of the programming we've done in the Fulmer Branch Library out into the Story Branch, the Tongue River Branch, and in the Claremont Branch. In Claremont, they recently got a new ceiling and lighting that was done by the Claremont Community Center Foundation, courtesy of the handyman of all, the foreman, just the guy who does all the great things, Mike Buss, and he did a great job. And we're going to go in and do carpet and get new shelving and new furniture, new desk, like just do what we can do to help make that branch shine. And then also bring some programs out there. And then the same with Tongue River, carpet, lighting, shelving, get the, we're going to expand their children's area, get a new nonfiction kind of study area there. Just trying really to think of the patron experience. And then in 2027, when we're bringing our programs out there, Cassie got a great grant that will allow a kind of creative station that's on, it's portable, and it will allow some creativity programming to come out there, as well as some programs focused on work, education, and health and wellness that will be running out of the Fulmer branch, but hopefully expanding out into the communities as well.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we all kind of grow up with our library. We get a little used to it, start taking it for granted maybe. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, it gets a new coat of paint,
yeah,
some redesign,
yeah,
and it just really opens it up. And we're constantly talking about the great programming that's really brought people into the library, mm-hmm, over the last few years. Really opened it up, too, for a lot of different people within the community. It's now more than just the library. It's like a little community hub for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea of doing that for every other community in Sheridan County. I think that's going to be great. And when you guys were discussing this, okay, what do we want to do? How are we going to get it accomplished? You said the grant process itself took 6 months. Well, I imagine there was a lot of work before we even started printing out papers. Did the board head to each of these libraries, kind of look around, get a view of what needed to be done? Or were those things that the administrators out there already knew, came to you with a list?
Well, the board was pretty much administrative in that we were supporting the grant process. We were helping with the writing in some situations. But the branches really came with their ideas, and that's how this grant was built, on each community's needs. And so after we understood what could and couldn't be done with the federal money, because there's always things that you can and can't
always
do.
Right.
Then it was really, I think Amy did a really good job of making sure that the branches had a say in how and what was going to happen with these renovations. So it was really driven by the staff and the community level need.
And I love that. Who knows their library better than the community?
Absolutely. And the staff who've been listening to them over the years and serving them and talking to them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Amy, did you bring all your supervisors in and say, okay, mm-hmm, if you could change one thing, what would it be? How did you address this with them?
In a variety of ways. Originally, when I was writing the grant, we looked at all of the paperwork that Cameron had put together. From the needs assessment of the original capital campaign that he did in 2018.
That's Cameron Duff.
Duff, the man,
love
right?
Love that guy. Yeah,
yeah, he's great. He did so much work, and they had gotten to almost half their goal, but hadn't reached the entire goal of the project because of, obviously, the interruption in services. And so we went back to all that paperwork and all that feedback they had gotten. I had talked to the staff at each location. When I started, I was out there pretty regularly that first year trying to get to know everybody and talked through kind of the limits of their original space and sort of how the community was using it. And then when we got the grant and Zach was in place as the satellite branch manager, we walked around and talked with Rhett, the designer who had won the bid for the project, and just walked the space, talked about what options there were, how we could create some more spacious designs for the collection, how we could create areas and zones for seating for patrons to come in, kind of stay a while is how I always put it, spend time in the branch with the community, gathering a little bit more and finding ways for them to find their space in the library. And the staff were amazing. They had ideas already because they had heard from the community for so long. And with Fulmer, Arette sat with us on extensive workshops that we did with the supervisors in the beginning, came back with some plans, And then after we had wrapped up the branch plans, then we started workshopping the Fulmer layout plans, which we're still kind of working on now to finalize. So we've got the branches ready to go and a bid that's already been accepted for the construction part of the work. And we're just waiting on scheduling that. And then we'll come back to Fulmer and get the bid out for that part of the project.
So as soon as you turn that grant in, everybody lose their fingernails overnight while we're all waiting, just kind of biting and hoping everything went well?
Yeah, because, I mean, this $1.7 million is a huge benefit to the library. Like, we're going to be able to do things that we wouldn't have been able to do without getting this grant. And so, you know, it was really important to us to support this. And so, yeah, it's been a little bit of a nail biter. It still is, because there's always things that come up and things that cost more. But it's just so exciting to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Amy, when you got the word, hey, we're approved, it's showing up in this amount, $1.7 million. What were the emotions that went through you?
I mean, it was amazing. I know that for any library, getting a grant is a big deal. And to have the opportunity to come in and do a refresh that I know is going to be one that is probably going to carry us through the next, hopefully, 20 years is a relief, because how else would we ever be able to do that? Like, that's like our budget for the year. And we're not going to gather that kind of money. I don't know. It was just amazing. It was an amazing gift, and it's an amazing opportunity. And for me, it's an investment in saying and a commitment to the community to saying, like, we are going to be here and we're planning these buildings for you, for the community, as a commitment to say, like, we're here for you and we're planning these buildings as a commitment to be here for you.
Yeah.
And we're going to do this. And, you know, because of how much we love being here, we love the work that we're doing, and we're just so proud and happy to be part of this community.
Well, Amy, I will tell you right now, as somebody on the outside, and yes, I do get to talk to you guys once a month.
Yeah.
But I can tell everybody loves their job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The library isn't just a place where you go and you get shushed anymore for talking. This is a place of fun now.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a real transformation from this image in your head of a, you know, dust-covered books, stuffy area, sitting at an old wooden table and having to be quiet. Now it's full of children's laughter and shows and programs and readings and all these different things. It's become a very happy place. And I think that's absolutely amazing to think that you're going to branch out, you're going to improve these other places, mm-hmm. because the model's worked here. Let's take it out there.
And there will still be zones. Like, there will be places you can sit and study. People come in to study all the time. And there are places where you can sit and chat or play a chess game or come in with your kids. And so that's the idea, is that there's a place to do the things you come to the library to do. And there's a variety of things you can do when you're there.
Having a lot of fun, but never losing one ounce of dignity, right?
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
All right. Now, let's talk about what's going to happen after Stroll.
Oh, that's right. So the Stroll is on Friday, and we're very excited to be a participant, but we don't want to take away from the businesses that are also operating for your good Christmas shopping. So when you need a break and your kids are getting a little squirrely, stop by the library. We've got some crafts happening, and we also have hot chocolate and some snacks, some good old Christmas goodies. And we're showing a film that you can find the title on our website. But due to licensing, I'll just say, featuring some Muppets and some good old Christmas fun.
Everyone loves Michael Caine.
That's yes. Right. Hint, hint. But we'll be showing that at 2 o'clock and also at, I think, 6:30, I said. But go to the website for details. And yeah, stop by the library if you need a little bit of parking and or Christmas wrapping, because we'll have that too.
You'll have folks out there wrapping some Christmas
presents. Yes, I was a Christmas wrapper at Dillard's back in the, I don't know, I'm not going to age myself, but when I was in my early 20s in my retail days. We'll wrap some complimentary Christmas gifts if you like and have all kinds of fun things happening at the library. So stop on by with your kids if you need to. And yeah, we'll be having some fun. And we do have a stroll basket and a number, if you didn't know, you could win.
That's fantastic. All right, folks, you need a little bit of a respite. The kids need a little more excitement than just standing next to you as you're trying to pick out that sweater for Uncle Bob. Head on down to the library. Have a good time. Get a movie in. And also, get those presents wrapped. Ladies, I want to thank you so much for coming in and speaking with me this morning. It is always a pleasure talking to the library.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Happy Thanksgiving, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Community Cupboard.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Doug, every year I give terrible Christmas gifts. Last year I gave my brother World's Okayest Brother Mug.
Wow, you really need to redeem yourself. Well, the Ware & Chevrolet Detail Shop can help with detailing gift certificates. It's the gift that says, I love you, and your car smells weird.
Okay, great. I'll skip your embroidered socks and sweaters then.
Yeah, Bob, good idea. Give the gift of clean with Ware & Chevrolet Detail Gift Certificates. Stop by at 409 Broadway in Sheridan.
Friday is Sheridan's Christmas Stroll. Shop. Look for matching button numbers and get caught shopping all day. Santa and Mrs. Claus will be at the Wiley Theater, and Maester and Elle will close from 4 to 8 for marshmallow roasting, free hot cocoa, cookies, and more. For details, visit SheridanWyomingChamber.org.
Christmas Stroll is brought to you by Fremont Toyota, Caldwell Banker The Legacy Group, Fidelity National Title, Volunteers of America Northern Rockies and Foundation, Century 21 BHJ Realty, and Sheridan Honda and Sheridan Power Sports.
Hi, Kurt Smith here for the Sheridan Commercial Company. Just in time for Christmas, we have received pallets of merchandise at liquidator pricing and are passing the savings on to you. You will save more than you spend with savings up to 88% off. From power tools and accessories, Christmas decorations, gadgets, pet beds, stocking stuffers, and items that you didn't even know you needed. And it's all priced to sell. The Sheridan Commercial Company Holiday Bargain Sale starts this Friday. Shop local and save big at the Sheridan Commercial Company.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. When you walk through our doors, you feel it, the perfect mix of style, warmth, and confidence. And that's no accident. It's our team, polished, friendly, and ready to make your night special. From the greetings to the goodbye, we care about your experience as much as your meal. Sheridan's favorite place to connect, celebrate, and unwind. Frackleton's, where great food meets flawless service. Main Street in downtown Sheridan.
You're going to get unbelievable bargains during Sheridan Media's Thanksgiving Online Marketplace. Bid on items from over 50 Sheridan and Buffalo businesses, and bidding starts at 50% of retail value. Bid on items from Peak Power Sports, Sheridan Horse Palace, Whiz Bang Fireworks, Country Pet Inn, All Around Canine, and Pine Top Soda Shop. Bidding starts now and goes until Monday night at 8 p.m. at SheridanMedia.com.